All right, everyone, welcome back into another Fantasy Golf video. Breaking down the Players' Championship here for you guys, giving you everything you need to know, but mostly just concentrating on the best picks and values for you guys. Also going to be giving you guys a first look build, but before we get into that, let's go on and get into a recap from last week. So last week was another pretty good week going on there for fantasy golf purposes, but really across the board. Talking about in showdown, round two was able to take down a second and third place finish as well as a sixth place finish in that contest. Very good round two showdown as it typically is. Prop betting wise, it was a very, very awesome week as well. Four out of the five slips that I gave you guys on this channel ended up hitting, meaning 7 units of profit. Ended up having a pretty sweat-free week for PGA DFS purposes in the Puerto Rico Open. The only letdown was Kelly Kraft, who just had a terrible round two. Did have some other golfers have some bad rounds mixed in there. Rafael Campos having a terrible round three was tilting, but thankfully Bryce Garnett made up for that, winning in the playoff at 90-1. That was an outright bet that I gave you guys on this channel as well. The Minwoo Lee chalk, that was pretty easy fade, especially if you are someone that uses the 9-to-5 ownership leverage tab, or if you guys are someone that was just using the data. That was one of the strange chalk plays. I couldn't find a reason as to why he was chalk. It was strange. That one's a head scratcher. I just really don't know how he ended up as chalk. You look at some of the other plays that were similar to him that kind of ranked out better. Andrew Putnam, Taylor Moore was like the one player that didn't do better. EVR did better. Patrick Rogers did better. Like all the other plays that you probably should have been ending up on more did better. And then Harris English was actually the best value. He ended up paying off his price tag pretty well. I mentioned on the 9-to-5 write-up that Scottie Scheffler was just too cheap, especially in comparison to like Rory the previous week. He ended up being someone that I was heavily overweight on the field, which ended up being very useful. Now he's priced correctly this week. We'll get into that. Matchup bets, pretty solid overall. 3 units of profit on the week. And then for round four, guys, there was a massive prop line difference. Basically, Russell Henley and Shane Lowry, their prop lines between Prize Picks and Underdog, they're off by 2. And they ended up middling, which ended up being very awesome. So last week was another good week, just fantasy golf betting in general. Hopefully you guys were able to take advantage of that. Now jumping into the Players' Championship this week. Now the Players' Championship is a tournament that we have seen plenty. We know which key stats to be looking at. We know which stats are going to be successful. But I do want to call it that this is a tournament in which we just see random chalk miss. If a golfer is not on their A game, they could struggle. But I think looking at Justin Thomas is like a good example of what can happen. Justin Thomas had a terrible round one and round two. He was actually someone that I remember calling out in round two as an outright winner, and he just ended up really just going off that year in the third and fourth round as well. But he was someone that struggled out the gate. And this is a tournament where, like, if you're not hitting your ball accurate, you are going to struggle. That being said, if you are hitting it well, you could really, really have a good week. And so when we look at the best stat fits for this week, again, I'm looking at the key stats that we have, and the key stats are going to be birdie to bogey ratio. You could look at bogey avoidance, but you also do need some golfers that are going to be scoring as well. So birdie to bogey ratio, total driving ball striking. We need to be concentrating on golfers that are not going to make mistakes. Those are going to be pivotal. And then par five scoring. Golfers really, really need to take advantage of the par fives if they are going to make the cut, but also do well in this tournament. Also, strokes gained approach is very much key as well. And then just the normal stats that we always look at, strokes gained total, strokes gained tee to green, effective scoring, which is a 9-to-5 stat. Basically measures both safety and upside. But looking at it right now, guys, Doug Gim is the best staff in the field. Now, if we just look at the four key stats, it's going to be Keith Mitchell, Sam Burns, Jimmy Stanger popping up in there. Crazy, right? Alex Noren, Xander. But that's the thing. What is standing out right now is that some of those high-end guys that we have, pricing-wise, are not popping up in here as the best staff hits, which tells us two things, guys. One, this field's loaded. Two, some of the top end guys, they're not without some slight risk. And we'll get into that in a second here. But this is a tournament where I do really want to be targeting some golfers that do have some form of course history. Okay. Course history really matters here. Maybe not in terms of like, oh, this guy played really well last year. He's like going to guarantee to make the cut. But no, golfers that have played this tournament are more likely to win. This is one of the few tournaments in which you need to have course experience to really be successful in terms of providing upside. What type of course experience? It really doesn't matter. But I'm looking at Tom Hoge as someone that has great course history. Brian Harman has really good course history. Victor Hovland's been pretty successful here. We have a lot of golfers here that really do have some strong course history. When we look at the multiple starts, at least two over the past 4 years. Now, that being said, one of the most key stats that we're going to find this week, basically year in and year out, is looking at recent form. Golfers that are in the best form. I mean, this is stuff that happens every single week. I love the winning trends that people post on Twitter, because they're essentially saying, hey, golfers that are in good form, are good staff hits, have the best course history, are more likely to win. It's like, yes, no doubt. Like, we don't need a freaking 15 bullet point thing to tell us that. We already know that. But this tournament is definitely more true for recent form. Golfers that are in strong recent form tend to both make the cut and end up winning. So someone like JT, who has been playing much better as of recently, is someone that's really popping up recent form-wise. You got Scotty, obviously number one. Sam Burns, who definitely let down in round four, started off with the triple bogey, but he is someone that's going to be looking at like a good play this week. Aubert continues to play some great golf. He's popping up in there. Tom Hoagie, who's really the best value outright bet that I think we had this week in terms of golfers I think can win. I think Doug Gim will be a good outright bet. I'll touch on that, but you're more betting him for the fun of it, for the number of it. Doug Gim's 150-1. Let's get into that. But looking at it, guys, like Xander continues to play great golf, has the longest active cut streak out of anyone on tour. I think for like the past, other than Tiger, I think he might have the longest cut streak, like 41 straight made cuts. Now, a lot of those are no cut events, so I don't really love that, but you guys know what I'm saying. Benny Am popping up in there. Emiliano Grillo, who was, in comparison to Minwoo Lee last week, he was on paper a much better play, and that ended up coming true as well. Again, head scratcher there, but some other names are popping up in there. I like Alex Noren this week concerning his price, so he's someone we're going to be looking at. And if you guys want to look at specialist data, I think that this is a week that I do think will matter in terms of looking at specialist data. One thing that I wish I would have looked at last week was actually water hazards, and I'm actually curious. So I'm looking at this. I want to see how Adam Scott does in events that are water aligned, because he was the letdown. I just need to see this. 35th. I don't know if I believe that. It seems like the weeks Adam Scott lets me down, which was last week, are events in which there are a ton of water hazards. But really, just as a whole, specialist data, we're just pulling in all the key characteristics for that week's tournament, which golfers are the best specialists. And again, really no shocks here. We got Xander, Scotty, Sam Burns, like a lot of the players that you would think pop up in there are going to be the best specialists. With that being said, let's go ahead and jump into what you guys came in here for, the best play. And so guys, looking at it on the top end, like Scotty is by far the best play. Now, last week, I kind of mentioned in the 9-5 write-up again, I'm going to continue to tell you guys to go ahead and read this. I said, you guys can go and read it. I said, basically, as price tag, he is someone we need to be playing. He's too cheap. And now in a bigger field event, he's actually higher priced. I don't know. That doesn't really make sense to me, but he is clearly the best play. Now, it's weird. Golfers that win the Players Championship tend not to play. I mean, no duh, right? But they tend not to play as well in their second or in their follow-up events than they did in the events prior, if that makes sense. And we can kind of see that here, guys. So like Rory, a previous winner, we see his next few events were poor. Justin Thomas, same thing. Like golfers that win just tend to struggle for some reason in their next time out at this tournament. So I don't know if we really need to be looking at many of those golfers. I will say Justin Thomas is someone that is popping up to me. If you're not being able to fit Scottie Scheffler into your builds, I do think you want to be going out of your way to play Justin Thomas. Again, the form has been there, really, besides one bad start in there where he was a chalk disappointment. I think everyone remembers that. And funny thing, that week where he missed the cut at the Genesis Invitational, he was popping up as a ownership fade. And that was when I was like, all right, I need to, anytime someone's like chalk and popping up in there, like over 10%, I just can't play them. Because yeah, he was someone that was popping up as a fade that weekend. Ended up happening. But no, he's been playing some great golf. Really just someone that I think we should be playing. I do think he makes for a good starting point. Now, I do worry about a golfer coming in off of a miscut just two events ago. Like, I think if we see him struggle, I think we're going to look back on that and say, well, not too shocking. But again, he is just a standout play as well. So guys, getting to Victor Hovland, he is someone that is really going to be popping up mile rank wise, you know, has good course history, a third and a ninth place finish. His first start here was a miscut. I should call out as well, guys, in 2020, which is still probably one of the most tilting tournaments ever, because I had a lineup, I went pretty heavy that week, and I had a lineup like in the top 10 of a very high dollar amount single entry, and then they canceled it. But in 2020, they ended up canceling it after round one. So I'm not pulling in the data for that. I'm actually pulling in 2023, 2022, and 2021, as well as 2019. Typically, I don't like to go back 5 years, because that's when the data really starts to drop off in terms of significance for course history. But we are pulling that in this week, just as an FYI. But looking at Victor Hovland, this goes back to my point where we have a lot of big name golfers that really are not strong stat fits this week in terms of the key stats for this week. Now, I do want to point out that a lot of those golfers have played in more difficult events, and so their data can be a little bit skewed because of that. But at the same time, they're not looking good. Like, it is kind of worrisome. Victor Hovland has been someone that has somewhat been struggling as well. I don't know if I feel like he's a great, like, go out of your way to play type of play, but I do think he is someone that I do want to be playing. You know, GPP-wise, I think he makes sense. Willie Z, Hideki are plays I like. Wyndham Clark, I will continue to play. Max Homa looks like a good play, but this is where I start to worry. So we got Aubert here popping up as the second best pick in the 9-5 model, which, as you guys know, hopefully by now, the 9-5 model is measuring both safety and upside. I want to capture golfers that both give us safety and upside. I want to go for that is going to make the cut. And so my biggest worry, again, with him is going to be the lack of course history. That to me is definitely a concern. And with that, I might not be able to end up on him as a cash play. I still think he's going to make for a great GPP play, but I do think we could potentially see that hinder his upside. Now, he has been someone where the course history and whatnot hasn't really mattered. He is certainly someone that has proven he can go out and play any course at any time and really dominate. So if you want to look that off, you can. I would suggest actually just going with a player slightly lower price than him. And we got two here, actually. Sam Burns is really popping up again this week. Very, very disappointing 78. He was someone I thought could have a chance to win on Sunday. And obviously that did not end up happening. But look at the starts that he's had here. 29, 26, miscut. Don't love the miscut. But stat fit wise, guys, he's really popping up. Second best in birdie to bogey ratio. Ninth in total driving. 16th in ball striking. And sixth in that par five scoring. So really the top key stats that we're looking at this week, he's popping up in all of them. The one knock on him stat fit wise this week is literally going to be that miscut at this event 3 years ago. That is the one data point that might suggest that he could struggle. Now, again, the Players Championship is a tournament in which for him last week, he should have had a better week. He had some really untimely or poorly timed bad shots. If that happens again this week, he could find himself into some trouble. Granted, now some of those shots were kind of risk reward shots where he kind of knew what he was doing. He was trying to set himself up for good looks. Probably not going to do that stuff this week, but that would be my one concern. But yeah, I mean, just across the board, looking like a standout play at that price tag, he's certainly someone I'm going to be rostering a bunch. I think he is actually the starting point for most lineups. So as I go ahead and give you guys a first look build, I'm going to go ahead and put him in there. Shane Lowry is another play that I don't mind, but let's actually jump into some other plays that are really standing out. I don't feel the need to cover the whole field here for you guys. If you guys want to check out the cheat sheet, by all means, jump into that. The next player that I want call is actually going to be Corey Connors. So Corey Connors has just been playing some extremely consistent golf. He is someone that typically speaking is finishing in the top 70 percentile or so, you know, giving us top 30 to top 20 finishes, which is what he did again last week. And if I remember correctly, I believe Corey Connors was a chalky disappointment last year at this tournament. And that's, again, like Sam Burns, we really only have one data point that's going to suggest he could struggle this week. And that's going to be his miscut at this tournament last year. Not good stuff there. But besides that, he is popping up. I mean, 26th the year before that, 7th, 41st. So good course history. Other than that, enough so where I can kind of just look that off a little bit. Key stat wise, he's really going to be popping up. Really, the only worry would be the birdie to bogey ratio could be a little bit better, 56th in the field, but everything else is top 35 or better. Love to see that there from him. And we can see really just been playing some great golf for quite some time now. He's someone at that price that you kind of just feel very comfortable playing and ending up on this week. And this is a little bit different from last week, where last week there was a lot of plays where I ended up on them and didn't exactly love that. This is going to be a little bit different. And so we look at Benny Ann. He is someone that, again, he is in some of the best form in the field, 7th best in recent form rank, 12th best pick in the 9-5 model. Course history wise, 2 out of 3 made cuts here. The made cuts were top 30 finishes, which you love to see. He is another play where if you end up on him, I am more than happy to end up on him. I feel like he's a great price play. If you guys are going to be on him a little bit more than I am, go for it. Now, this week, it's actually funny. Minwoo Lee is popping up as a much better play as he was last week, and that's going to confuse some people. It's a little bit due to the one start that we have because of the good finish that he had, but he is still a GPP only play. And I just want to touch on this. In golf, cash is a little bit different than GPP. I see all the time these bad cash plays end up being pretty chalk in cash that shouldn't happen. So like, I got the appeal of Minwoo Lee in GPPs last week because of his upside. But again, we had so many similar plays or better plays at his price tag that provide us a little bit more safety than him and that ranked out better, that he ended up being a easy fade in cash contests because the risk didn't meet the reward in cash, because we had a like plays in cash that were just as likely or more likely to do better. Like Andrew Putnam was like less than 1% owned, ranked out slightly better than Minwoo Lee last week. That would have been huge cash leverage. Like if you just played Andrew Putnam and ate chalk everywhere else, you did fine. You did really well, right? For GPPs, it makes sense why you'd still get your exposures to Minwoo Lee, because you're betting on the upside. But from there, I really want to talk about Tom Hoagie, guys. Tom Hoagie is really popping up as just an elite play this week. Okay, we see the course history, 4th, 33rd, 22nd, 30th, just elite stuff there from him. Okay, specialist wise, 13th best specialist in the field. Again, specialist data is just pulling in all the unique characteristics for that week's tournament and putting it into a data point. The one worry that we have from him is going to be a couple of the key stats, total driving and ball strike. That that could lead to some big blow-up holes. Hopefully it doesn't. That would be a concern. And I would love for strokes gained approach to be a little bit better as well. But the birdie to bogey ratio, key stat number one, being 18th best in the field tells me that he is playing some pretty smart golf. But across the board, recent form-wise, you know, top 10 in the field, he's really the one golfer in the field that's checking all the boxes this week. And actually, let's take a peek at that. So I'm curious. So we kind of had the AI for you guys. Which plays are going to be statistical core plays? Okay, we're not getting one because Tom Hoagie, a couple of the key stats are bad. Let's see which players are going to be. Oh, wow. That's surprising. High exposure plays. Interesting there with Patrick Cantlay. That's shocking, guys. And then Russell Henley popping up in there. Not too shocking. So again, this tells you the variance that we're going to have, that we have two high exposure plays, no core plays, and then a bunch of mid exposure plays. So that's fascinating already. Let's see here. Is he popping up as an outright bet by chance? No. So Scotty, JT, that makes sense again. So interesting there. So last week, just while we're on this, we saw the first time really all season where we had more than like three players listed as statistical outright bets, good outright bets. And now we're back to two again in a huge field. And again, this is kind of just like AI. This is based off of a bunch of data points that suggest a good bet from the previous season's outright winners. And so kind of crazy that we only have two. But regardless of that, guys, just given the price tag that we have for Tom Hoagie, he to me is going to be a core play. He's someone that we need to be going out of our way to play and just get into him outright wise as well. And we get into the lines that we're getting on him, we are seeing some decent discrepancies across the board, guys. So like BetMGM has him at 70-1. That is a very good number, especially when we compare it to the average odds. That's a better payout for you guys. And I think that's a bet that people should be making. Again, just really popping up as, I would say, one of the best plays is like checking all the boxes. Again, a little bit of worry with total driving, ball striking, but across the board, he is someone that really does stand out as an outright bet. If you guys are someone that bets elsewhere, you know, some decent odds, but we are seeing, you know, a bunch of prop line differences. And I think he's going to be a great outright bet. And Keith Mitchell to me is going to be another really good outright bet. Again, we're getting some discrepancies there. And it's so weird. Like BetMGM, we just saw, was one of the better bets for Tom Hoagie. It's going to be the kind of the opposite, where that's the worst bet you can make here. You can get Keith Mitchell at 100-1 on FanDuel and PointsBet, but I'm really just using this to call it that we are seeing some differences in the odds, and that kind of suggests that the pricing that we're getting DraftKings-wise for Keith Mitchell, to me, does seem to be too low. He has been playing some pretty darn solid golf. You look at his missed cut there at the Farmers, still under par. Like, again, like, this is kind of like Puerto Rico Open. Like, you wonder why I was able to end up on Bryce Garnett as an outright bet. Well, sometimes some missed cuts where you're under par, like, that's not a bad round. You just didn't play good enough, and so I'm kind of okay with slightly looking that off. But really, when we look at the data for Keith Mitchell, he is someone that is popping up, guys. One missed cut at this event, which is going to be the biggest data point in terms of reason not to play him. Other than that, really good finishes. Okay, 3 out of 4 made cuts with a top 15 place finish, another 30th place finish, which if he gives us a top 30 at this price tag, we would certainly take that. Key stat wise, guys, he's really popping up. Birdie to bogey ratio, everything, just top 15 or better. Okay, seventh best staff in the field, 10th best pick in the 9-5 model, which actually, guys, before the data was pulling in the sportsbook odds, the odds to win and make the cut, both him and Tom Hoagie actually ranked out significantly better than this. So that kind of tells you just how good of plays that they are on paper, especially compared to the price tag. So I think they make for great outright bets. I think they make for great cash GPP plays as well in DFS. And so for me, I already got Tom Hoagie in here and then Keith Mitchell. Like, this feels like a very safe starting point. If you guys want to go Corey Connors, you could as well. But then from there, that's where it starts to get a little bit more iffy, I guess, but not too bad, because we still have who I thought should have been the chalk value last week, EVR. And it was just strange to me why he wasn't chalk compared to Minwoo Lee, because for all the reasons that people were seemingly liking Minwoo Lee, which again, I didn't really find that many reasons on paper to like him, given his salary, EVR was much, much better play. So again, that was a head scratcher, and ended up finishing top 25, which was good enough to pay off his price tag, which really at this price for EVR, that's really all you want out of him, is for him to pay off his price tag. But right now he's looking great. I mean, made cut this event last year, which was a top 15 place finish. Overall, a top 8 staff in the field. Again, looking at it, the one worry would be total driving, but birdie bogey ratio, I guess a little bit of ball striking as well, but birdie bogey ratio really popping up in their top 20 in the field. And then par 5 scoring, really good there as well. Recent form-wise, we have seen the upside from him, and we've seen the safety from him as well. But overall, he is just someone that at this price is going to be tough to pass up on as well. I personally really like Alexander Noren a little bit more than the data does. Just, you know, kind of cross off the course history here. again, I just want to see golfers that do have good course history. And he has been someone that's been playing well, 10 straight made cuts, really good staff fit. He is someone that I think if he's low owned, I'm going to be jumping on. But Doug Gim, again, is the best staff in the field. Really been playing some great golf, 4 straight made cuts now, all top 20 finishes. We see his course history. Bad start at this event last year, but then a 6th and a 29th place finish. Really has everything that you'd want as a like staff at 4 golfer or as a play at this price tag. And outright wise, I think he's someone I want to be looking at as well. So like looking at his odds outright wise, I think these have come down. These have come down a little bit since I tweeted about it. Ah, that's why, guys, that's why I don't love tweeting about stuff. I love to give you guys that information first so that I'm not changing any ownerships and odds and whatnot. It's kind of frustrating. It was at 150-1. Now you can still get him at 125-1. Still very good odds out there. Points bet at 125-1. Very good odds there. If you are someone that can bet on bet365, 140-1 feels like a good number as well. Lineup wise, I'm not exactly sure if I view him as like a good or safe cash play, but I think he makes for a great UPP play. Again, it's like miscut, the American Express, not a bad miscut. Sony Open, not terrible as well, even par. And then I just really don't care about his starts prior to 2024. But we can see, like, even going back far enough, like, been playing really good golf. It's just playing good enough golf. Basically, all of his rounds have been under par or even par. Like, isn't that great? And when he is making the cut, he's finishing top 20. Like, that, this is an elite GPP play to me. And then from there, I mean, it's a little bit tough to ignore Novak with 3 straight top 10 finishes, right? I mean, that's pretty good. Mark Hubbard seems like a pretty decent play. 7 straight made cuts in a row, made the cut at this tournament last year. Again, not someone you're going crazy with, but a play that I do like. And then Andrew Putnam, I know he has terrible course history, but he's been someone that's been, you know, kind of exceeding his price tag for quite some time. I don't mind him. But giving you guys a first look build, I would put Doug Gim in there for now. Then from there, it's kind of deciding where we want to go next. Again, we got a lot of great options here. Albert is obviously someone that's popping up. I kind of feel comfortable with Corey Connors, even though he's coming in off of a miscut this event last year. Same thing with Doug Gim. Like, I don't like targeting those guys. And then in a weird way, I don't exactly like where this lineup process leaves me. Like, Victor Hovland, Zal Torres, I'm perfectly fine with those plays. At the same time, I don't exactly feel the need to roster them, so I might just go with Aubert. Maybe Shane Lowry feels like a safe play. Let's do Shane Lowry. That leaves us with 9.6. Could play Aubert as well. Like, that is kind of the lineup process that I'm going through. Maybe you don't want to end up on someone like Doug Gim. Maybe you want to go with EVR, which, again, I'd be perfectly fine with. I think EVR makes a lot of sense in cash this week. That's going to leave you with 9.1 on average left over. You could then go Corey Connors. Benny Anderson, someone that popped up in as well. You could definitely play him. 9.9 left over. Again, kind of a weird price tag for me. I'm definitely happy to end up on Willie Z, Clark, Homa, but it also kind of feels like I'm losing a little bit of leverage upside, if you will. Hanan, we could play 10.1. Again, kind of a weird spot. And then I am kind of curious how the data kind of feels about those plays. So what I'm going to do is whatever. You need to put 2 data points into this for it to run. So whatever. 2 data points in there. And I just want to see what the optimal build is going to be. And I'm still going to do my normal 3 players max exposure 35. Generate that. I just want to show you guys what the data is saying is the optimal build right now. And Sam Burns, Cameron Young, Corey Connors, Benny Ann, Tom Hoagie, and Emiliano Grillo. What's interesting, Keith Mitchell not popping up in the optimal build. Now you go a little bit lower, you got Keith Mitchell right there. So like nothing, not too crazy, still 40%. But yeah, I think Tony Finau could end up being a massive leverage play this week as well. Haven't seen really anybody talk about him too much. He could be someone that we're playing as well. But that is going to be all for this video. Make sure to give a like and subscribe to the channel. Really though, guys, subscribe. I appreciate the support that we have gotten. My next goal is going to be to get to 1,000 subscribers before the Masters. I would love to do that. And really, I've been able to put out more and more content because you guys have been supporting the channel. So I do really appreciate that. I'll be coming out with outright coverage, betting coverage as well, prop coverage, showdown picks as well, all this week. Appreciate you guys being here. That's going to be all for today's video. If you guys want access to any of the tools that you saw in this video, head on over to 9to5sports.com. Available for $10 a month. Guys, people charge $20 just for like their chat. I mean, don't do that. Head on over to 9to5sports.com, $10 a month. Thanks for watching. Good luck this weekend. As always, let's keep cashing.